Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Aren't you people more excited about Jesus than that? Yes. Come on. I know we don't have 10,000 people in here, but we can still make enough noise to say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. I got a card in the mail from a church in the area, and I thought, well, something that caught my eye. Not that this is even a big deal, but I thought it was interesting. The pastor puts, I preach in jeans, so please don't feel like you need to dress up for church. Well, I think you should dress up for church.
So do I.
I really do. We come before a holy, righteous God. We should at least respect him and dress up. Amen? So I disagree with him on that, and it's no big deal. He could care less whether I do or not anyway, and I understand that. Whether you're a mom with a minivan, have a corporate job, or work for yourself, I promise to make my sermons relevant to your world. If you can't apply it on Monday, I won't say it on Sunday. I'll let the Lord deal with that. I'm going to preach the whole counsel, the best of my ability that the Lord gives me.
Amen.
We're going to preach the Word of God. I'm not going to apologize for it.
Amen.
And I'm not looking to grow fast numbers and big dollars. I want to encourage people to keep on living for Jesus. Preparing their hearts for the soon return of the Lord. He's coming back soon. And I'm not going to make people so they can leave and feel good. I let the Holy Spirit do the work with the Word, how he decides he's going to do it. And like I said before, some of you may be mad, you may be glad the way I preach. I'm going to do the best I can. It's up to you. You're mad, you're glad. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your hearts. Amen? So exposing the enemy, I believe many Christians are under attack without a doubt around the world. We see the persecution happening. Even this church gets under attack spiritually. You, as the body, you are being attacked supernaturally, spiritually. There's a lot of people are being hammered with illnesses and sicknesses and things like that coming against their life. We have an enemy against us. So today I want to touch on exposing the enemy. I like the song we sang, Onward Christian Soldiers, Marching Off to War. See, this isn't a picnic.
No, it's not. Come on.
So many churches, you think you're going to a picnic today. Balloons, cake, coffee, rolls, have fun. It's not a picnic. We are in a war, a spiritual war. With the cross of Jesus going before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. This past week, I watched over in Denmark 20 Christians who had taken crosses, made crosses, and walked down a street where radical Islam Muslims were taking over the city, and they said, this is our city. You people leave this city and this country now. And these 20 Christians very politely, respectfully walked down the sidewalk, walked right up to their faces and said, we are not leaving. This is our city. It's a Christian city. This is our city, and we are not leaving. And we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. And those Muslims did not like it. And they were trying to intimidate, but I admired my brothers and sisters in Christ because they stood against the enemy. They didn't back down. They told him right to their face, we are not scared of you. And the Muslims backed away. And that's what we need to be doing today, people, as the body of Christ. We need to stand for what we believe and not be fearful of it and not compromise, not allow the enemy to intimidate us and keep our mouths shut, but they proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to a dying world. Amen? And it's getting darker and darker out there, and many Christians are finding that out, that it is. The Christian soldier must fight hard for every step that we take in the world we're living today. Nothing comes easy when we're taking new ground. And we are called to march forward, not slide backward or to run away. We're called to go forward. And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation, and we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We're to be good soldiers of him. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 13, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take on you the whole armor of God, that ye," in verse 13, "wherefore, take on to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." How much of the armor are we supposed to put on? We're supposed to put on all the armor, aren't we? The whole armor of God we're to do. In verse 14, "Girt with truth." That's the word of God. You need to read the word of God. You need to read the word of God. If we're to stand against the father of lies, you got to know what the word of God says. Amen? See, that's what's happening today, even within the church. The word is being manipulated, changed, added to, subtracted from, and nobody even knows it. They're just sitting there, and the seducing spirits are blinding them and deafening them. And they don't know that they're being lied to or shortchanged the gospel. We're to have the breastplate of righteousness, which protects our heart and lungs so that it provides us with the breath and to carry on that fight. And it's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ that breastplate is. Amen? And then our feet are to be shod with the gospel of peace, to move quickly as far as the gospel requires us to go. And then the shield of faith, which is faith in God's promises that gives us the victory. Amen? The promises of God, they're never failing, never failing. And then we're to put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet is called the hope of salvation. Did you know that? How many knew that? It's the hope of salvation. You can find that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. That's what it's called. It is a certain hope that protects the believer's mind as he seeks continually to be casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. And then the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And we read that several times, and you know it, for the word of God is quick and powerful, amen? It's the word of God. We need to quote the word of God. And lastly, praying always. We need to be persevering in prayer. We need to be persevering in prayer. One of the things that a lot of Christians aren't doing today, they're not reading their Bibles and they're not praying the way we need to. We are in a war. We are in a war, and we need to be praying and reading the word of God, preparing ourselves, protecting ourselves, our families, what's coming into this world. It would be foolish to put on armor and not go to battle. But it would be deadly to go to battle without armor. And many go to battle without armor. They're not prepared, and they're getting destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Paul couldn't make it more clear for us this morning. The world is a battlefield, and our occupation is war. We don't like to talk about those things, but people, we are in a spiritual warfare for the very souls of our lives as well as our loved ones and the whole world. And we are in a war. It's easier to talk about the good things in life, things that make you feel good, make the little cotton ball swirl your earlobes and everything. But I tell you what, we are in a spiritual battle, and there's many falling away today by the multitudes. Many are being murdered and slaughtered today through that spiritual battle. We need to be ready. We need to be speaking about it. Now that we are recruited into God's army, it's time to know the enemy, who the enemy is. And the enemy is not your fellow Christians. Did you know that? It's not your fellow Christians. And it's not your fellow man either that's your enemy. Your enemy is threefold. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. But today we're going to expose the enemy, the devil. And no one doubts there is a devil except those who are under his control. This morning we're going to look into four scriptures that describe our enemy as a lion, a thief, a serpent, and an angel. And we learn those four lessons, these four warnings that describe the devil and what he does. And first, we learn that the enemy devours like a lion. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He's looking for you. He's looking for you. He's looking for you when your guard goes down, when you get weary. He's looking for you when you're depressed. He's looking for every opportunity to bring you down and devour you any way he can. He doesn't mind it when you are full of apathy and procrastination in your life. He's looking for us. That's what the enemy does. He is an adversary. He's our enemy. And if you're not being harassed by the enemy, then you're not living for God. You're not. We have an enemy against us. As the saying goes, you only take flak when you're over the target. That's the only time. Nothing will win the hate of your enemy more than when you show him the truth. Do you ever speak the truth to somebody when you share the gospel with them? Sometimes they get madder than a hornet because you put truth into their life where they've justified sin, and you bring truth and it puts light upon darkness and they get angry. And I've told a testimony where I've had guys grab my little Bible out of my hand and throw it on the ground and warn me never to speak the word to them again. But you know something? If we're intimidated by that, we won't ever go forward. We continue to speak the word even when we're threatened, because that enemy wants to close our mouth. That's what's happening in the United States today. The government places, public places, they're all trying to close us down from speaking our faith forward. In fact, I think Amy was telling me this week, even in her company, that there was a non-known person actually putting a comment in there saying, I'll just paraphrase this, I don't know it word for word, basically, keep your religion to yourself, don't bring it to work. That's what the devil wants. That's Satan talking, not that person. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. Doesn't want the word of God to preach today. And we've got to remember that in your life, in your family, if you're told to keep your mouth shut, that is the devil you're fighting against, not the one who's saying, don't talk to me about your religion, they call it. But you know something? If you give up, you lost. You lost. You still continue to speak the word of God. There's three ways he's described. First is a roaring lion. Samuel Rutherford, a minister and a theologian, once said he preferred a roaring lion to a sleeping lion. And then he said, I wish a cumbersome devil rather than a secure and sleeping one. That's kind of a strange, peculiar statement, isn't it? Usually we want that guy sleeping. We want him out of our life. But he's saying just the opposite here. And I believe his point was, it is better to take comfort in knowing that we are doing something for Christ to provoke the devil to a roaring against us rather than doing nothing to appease the devil, to leave us alone. You know, every time you and I try to draw closer to Jesus, Satan will turn the heat up so we back away. He will bring the pressure on, the problems might get more intense, and he'll make us think all of our life is falling apart. And in reality, the closer we get to Jesus, the safer we are. And the devil knows it. And he will try to discourage us from getting closer. You say, well, what's the use? It seems like every time I pray and I get close to the Lord, things just go to pieces. Well, there's an enemy against us. It's that roaring lion that's trying to devour us. I've read that a lion sleeps between 18 to 20 hours a day. And when he's had a full meal, he will sleep a full 24 hours. That's a long time to sleep, isn't it? I know there's some Christians that do that too, but you know, we got to quit sleeping. We've got to wake up. If you are already spiritually dead, then there's no reason for any lion to kill you. Isn't that the truth? If we're spiritually dead, we don't have an enemy that needs to kill us. We're already dead. See, the devil can sleep the day away and come back to the carcass anytime he wants to make sure. A pastor walking back down a hill to his truck after a long day of sitting in a deer stand, and on the narrow road back, he came across a copperhead. Just lying in the middle of his way, he blinded it with his flashlight and slowly walked around it as it slithered forward into the tall grass. The pastor said he went his way and the copperhead went his way. And sometimes that is the way we treat the enemy. Let him go his way and we'll go our way. But you know something? It's a dangerous concept and it could be a deadly one when that happens. It is foolish to think that the enemy is going to tip his hat to you and leave you alone because you left him alone. See, I believe what Rutherford was suggesting is that if you are sliding down to hell, there is no reason for a devil to interfere with the progress. Eternal damnation is the highest price to pay for playing neutral. And that's what's scary today, people. That's why I got to give you messages of warning in the hour that we live, because Jesus is coming soon and so many people are playing games and think it's a picnic out there and more concerned about relevant, how to do this and how to do that, how to have a successful life. And those are good things, but those aren't eternal things. I believe as we live out the Word of God and we obey the Word of God, all those things come into place. I believe they do. And we need to be encouraged with them also, but not when they dominate the warning that this world is going to pass away. Your life is going to pass away. My life is going to pass away. What are we doing with it? We have an enemy that is against us. How many of us pray for our children and our grandchildren on a daily basis? There's an enemy against them to steal, to kill, and to destroy them. The school systems today, they're robbing our children. Because the enemy is in there to destroy. He roars with anger, in jealous hatred, resentment, and with great bitterness. And no one is more determined and cruelly motivated to tear down others than someone who is bitter. And the devil is the most bitter of them all. He is fierce, he is cruel, and he is strong. He is a supernatural being that is stronger than any man. He's stronger than any of us from any generation. But no, make no mistake about this. While no man is a match for the devil is no match for Jesus. Amen. That's why I'm excited about Jesus. That's why I call upon the name of Jesus every single day of my life. Because I know that I'm not a match for the things that come against me during the week. But I need Jesus. He knows this is so. He devises ways to get to you, and you don't even know it sometimes. He will do it through cynicism, skepticism, confusion, and doubt in many other ways. The devil may be the king of the jungle on earth, but he must bow to the King of Kings who reigns in heaven. And that's King Jesus. Amen. And secondly, he is a prowling lion. A prowling lion is a hunting lion, always searching for food. It's been observed that a lion has excellent night vision, and he can actually see better at night than he can during the day. Lions prefer to hunt at night where he has the obvious advantage because his prey can't see him. Those who walk in sin walk in darkness, people. Those who walk in sin walk in darkness. Those who walk in ignorance walk in darkness. When we don't heed, believe the word of God, we are not only walking in darkness, we are walking in darkness alone. I don't know about you, but I would never, ever, ever walk through a dense forest or a jungle at midnight without a flashlight walking alone. How about you? I wouldn't. That is not bravery, it's stupidity. And how can we expect our enemy not to take advantage of our ignorance? We're safe while we're walking in the light. We have an advantage, but we also have an advantage by staying together, people. Together. Did you know that? We have an advantage when we come together. You know the scripture, Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. People, you need to be in church. We need to be in church. Too many people skipping church more than they should is not good for them. Because God says the more as we see the day approach, we need to come together as the body of Christ. We need to do that. The sheep are safest when they stay close together. We can encourage one another. We can pray for one another. If people aren't here, or I'm not here, you're not here, we can't pray for each other's. We can't encourage each other's, and the devil knows it. Every one of us is important to God here in ministry. Every one of us. When we are in Jesus' arms, there's no danger at all, people. And thirdly, he is a devouring lion seeking someone to devour. He would devour all the sheep that the shepherd lays down in green pastures if he could. He'd do it. In the time of Nero, Christians were literally fed to hungry lions. Can you imagine that? If somebody walked in here and escorted us out and taken us somewhere and fed us to hungry lions? That'd be something, wouldn't it? I wonder where our faith would be. We need to prepare our hearts, people. As persecution increases, and we're seeing that happen in our own country right now, you will see more lukewarm Christians fall away and take sides with the world against the true church. We're already seeing that. We're living that out right now. We're watching it happen. If you're radical for Jesus and on fire for Jesus, there's people in other churches, they don't want anything to do with you. We're in serious times. And we need to expose the devil. Persecutors are worse than lions because they prey upon their own kind. See, the prowling lion, he's relentless and he will never stop lurking. We need to be relentless in our living for Jesus. He will not stop hunting us. He will not stop prowling after us. He is diligent and restless in his attempts to not only assault you, but to completely devour you, to come and to steal and to kill. Destroy us totally. Annihilate us. 1 Peter 5:8, the word devour means to drink down, to gulp, to swallow. In Revelation 17:6, we read that the great harlot of Babylon was, listen to this, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. But here in 1 Peter 5:8, we are told, be sober minded, or else we would be devoured also. See, it's our duty to be watchful about those things that are likely to intoxicate our minds. Walk circumspectly. Always suspicious of the devil's activities, careful of salvation and aware of Satan's traps and temptations. Watch what you read. Watch what you hear and watch what you listen to and watch on TV and the internet. We're to be sober-minded. There's a lot of stuff coming against us right now over TV, the internet, television, you name it. It's coming against us through books, whatever. There's stuff coming against us. And a lot of people have not been preparing, are falling into it, and they're falling away. We learn that we need to be alert because our enemy, the devil, will not only devour us like a lion, but secondly, we learn that our enemy will destroy like a thief. It says in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have it, have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'd rather have abundant grace, wouldn't you? I'd rather have abundant grace than to walk in darkness and allow the enemy to come in and steal. Some of us have had family members already stolen from us. Children, loved ones that have walked away from God, that were once serving Jesus, no longer are. The devil is out to destroy them, and he wants to destroy you by doing that also. If he can't get to you, he'll get to your loved ones. A thief is cold and calculating, and there's absolutely no remorse and no repentance, compassion, or sympathy from the devil whatsoever. He's pure hatred, and he's pure evil. He has cased your house, and he knows it well. I don't know about you, in our home, I like to always walk through our home and proclaim the blood of Christ. And just speak to the Holy Ghost to move supernaturally in our home. The enemy loves to get into our home. It can be by turning that TV on and instantly seeing something you shouldn't be looking at. He'll come in any way he can. It might even be through a phone call. Who knows how he's going to do it. But we always need to be on guard and be aware of what's happening. And just like an anatomy professor knows the human body, the devil knows the human soul. Like many professors today, the devil has more knowledge than wisdom. For all the knowledge he has gained over the years, he hasn't an ounce of wisdom. And we're seeing that today, believe you me. Professors that claim to be professors. And to this thief, you are just another soul to be stolen and destroyed. And people, I want to encourage you, we need to take this seriously in our lives, in our homes, in our families, in our jobs, wherever we're at. We need to realize we need not be paranoid, but we need to be aware at all times there's an enemy out to take us down and to destroy our testimony as well. He and his hordes have seen thousands just like you come and go over the millenniums. And while no two people are very exactly alike, the same, he has had so much time and experience to study man's tendencies and proclivities that he knows what works best for you. The devil knows how he can affect me and others, all of us. He knows how to flavor his bait with fish, not because of omniscience, but because of experience. The devil laughs at those Christians who think they can throw them down by their own righteousness. We got to be careful of that. Especially if you've walked with the Lord for years, sometimes we start to think our righteousness is it, and it's not. It's Jesus' righteousness. We always depend upon his righteousness. The only reason I do good works is because Jesus changed me, and he lives in me, and I serve him, and I want to do good works to glorify and honor him upon the earth. My righteousness doesn't do a thing for me to get me to heaven. Only the righteousness of Jesus. That's the only thing. He easily uses spiritual pride to lead people astray. And if you're a very humble Christian, he will bombard you with doubt and he'll pummel you with thoughts that you're not saved. Anybody ever have that problem? Thinking you're not saved? Most of us have, I'm sure, throughout our Christian life. I have. Especially in my younger years, man, I'd walk around frightened. I'd sit in church when the preacher's preaching and say, man, lack of ignorance, reading the word too. If he sees that you have had bouts of depression, he will try to drive you to despair. And if you are known to despair, he will try to drive you to suicide. That's what he does. That's why if you're here this morning and you're depressed, run to Jesus. If you think your life is not going the way it should and despair is there, you need to run to Jesus because he is the author and finisher. He knows your life. He's written it out. He knows how to take care of the needs and the situations of your life. You need not be fretful. It's the enemy that lies to your mind and saying you're not going to make it. It's the enemy. If you're very lively and energetic, charismatic person, he won't waste time with doubt or depression. But he might try to tempt you with lust or lead you into arrogance. If you're proud, he may try to torment you with envy as someone who's getting more acclaim than you. He will often try whatever sin is most agreeable to your nature. Any chink in our armor is going to be exploited. And whenever there is an opening, the devil invites himself in, people. If you open a little small door, just a speck, Satan will come on in. Was it Bundy, I think I read, it's been a long time ago, that he said that it was his dad's Playboy book he opened once? Just a seed, that's all Satan needs. And we need to be careful of those things. We have an enemy. The indestructible Achilles had his heel and the mighty Samson had his Delilah. And the devil looks for any advantage he can gain by your weakness as well. Anything unguarded is sure to be exploited by the thief that comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Any opening for temptation is an invitation for the devil. And speaking of which, we see thirdly that not only does Satan devour like a vicious lion or destroy like a cold and sinister thief, but we also learn that our enemy deceives like a serpent. The serpent was found in the beginning in Genesis deceiving Eve, and now we see this deceiving serpent in Revelation being thrown down with his angels in Revelation 12, 9, 10, and it says, in that great dragon was cast out that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God. How much? Day and night. Day and night. He's relentless. And he's not going to give up till you're in the ground or Jesus comes. All his deception does not go unpunished, and although he can deceive many, he cannot deceive God, and he cannot defeat the church, is what I was going to say. For the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. People, we're living in those days right now. We're literally watching the fulfilling of prophecies of the coming of our Lord. We're living in the high, I can't believe the deception today that people are watching on the news and the politics, and people are following it and they're supporting people that are blatant liars because seducing spirits have blinded their ears and their eyes and they don't even know it. We're in dangerous times. The name devil itself, literally the slander, the false accuser. The devil's poisonous lies are loaded in his fangs, and he strikes out constant accusations against you night and day. Even though he hates being in God's presence, he makes an exception to take his case against you like a crooked lawyer before God. The way he did against Job and Joshua, the high priest. Therefore, don't give him any evidence to use against you. Don't give him any evidence to use against you. Take your case before the holy throne, before Satan does, because he's a liar. He's a liar. John 8:44 says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And just as those who receive Christ become the children of God, in John 1:12. And so also those who do the will of the devil are called the children of the wicked one in Matthew 13:38. We shouldn't be surprised by accusations no more than a soldier should be surprised for taking on a fire during a firefight. It comes with the territory, people. When you become a Christian, you have an enemy that's fighting against you, against your family, against everything about you. There's an enemy. And while we may forgive others, we can't be surprised when others do not share the same kindness. And guess what? The world never forgives a Christian. The world never forgives a Christian. It hates Christians. Look what's being said today on the news. If it can, it will search and search until a fault is found and will magnify it 1,000 times. In 1,000 ways for 1,000 days, the sinner will write it in stone and put it in a lockbox of his mind to always cherish, even when a greater wrong would have been quickly dismissed if anyone else had done it. Isn't that the truth? The world, once they know you're a Christian, you're going to have an enemy that's going to watch you. Listen, everything he can trip you up. And people are going to, any little thing that they think is sin, they're going to get you for it because you're a Christian. The devil is the meanest, most vile, and evil accuser there is, but it's not unexpected. But part of spiritual warfare is a fight. We need to fight. But how? Every time the devil tempted Jesus, Jesus parried with, it is written. We got to do more, it is written, in our lives. The devil is a tempter, an accuser, but we have the sword of the Spirit. We've got the Word of God, people. This is precious. We've got the Word of God. This is what we need to be saying to the enemy in our homes when depression tries to come in, when sickness tries to come in, when evil tries to come in, when temptation tries to come in. We need to say it is written. Not Zorro. Jesus. We need the Word of God, people. We need to be in the Word. It is written. The old accuser says to the new Christian, you have sinned a great sin. And this is when you must say, yes, but Jesus is a great Savior. It is written, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If the enemy tells you you're not saved, you need to say it is written. The devil says, but you've sinned beyond all hope and you know it. Then you must say it is written. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It is written. It's written. We need to proclaim that more and more in the day that we live. Then he waits and comes back again and says, I'm going to take you and all your loved ones too. Then it's when you say it is written. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church. It's talking about the church. See, every time he tempts or accuses to throw the boiling hot holy word of God upon him. Because we are given a promise. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. He's a coward. He can't afford to spare time crossing blades with a veteran warrior. You can't do that. There is much easier victims to conquer. If the devil can't win you by fear or by vice or by accusation, he will try to win you by of the most infamous trick in the devil's playbook, by false kindness. By false kindness. Finally, we learn our enemy disguises himself as a angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of a light. See, Satan is the prince of the darkness, but can disguise himself as an angel of light. He smoothly teaches false doctrine and error, the whole time appearing to have a passion for righteousness and zeal for holiness. But it's deceit. And just as his ministers disguise themselves as disciples of Christ, he disguises himself as an angel of light. He would lead men away from the word rather than to it, or he would pervert the word of God out of context for his advantage. But simple-minded people who don't study the word for themselves would never know the difference. And that's what's happening today, greater amount of it. He knows the word of God too, but preys upon those who don't know what it means. And I don't know if this, Aesop's Fables, ever hear that? Am I saying that right? Aesop's Fables. There's an owl and a grasshopper. An annoying grasshopper is constantly singing an obnoxious song, but keeping the owl from her sleep. The owl asks him politely to go along, but instead the grasshopper determines to sing all the more loudly. The owl then says, well, if someone is to be kept awake, it's good to be kept awake by your beautiful music. Then the owl said she was given a bottle of nectar and would gladly give the grasshopper a drop if he would come closer to her, sing her a song. He was so flattered that he immediately hopped up to sing her a song. When he was in the reach, the owl grabbed him and ate and finished her nap in peace. Did you get that? Sometimes we're getting too close. The devil knows that sometimes flattery works better than threats. Too many Christians want to be friends with the world, and they'll listen to the flattery many times because they want to be friends. I don't want to be friends with the world. I don't need their friendship. I need to witness and win them to Jesus Christ, but I'm not going to go into the world and become like them to make them like me. I don't care two hoots and a holler about that. But we need to realize that the enemy works through people. There may be a motive there. Spurgeon said, the devil hates you when he seems to love you best. Jesus was betrayed by a kiss, and Judas to Jesus or Brutus to Caesar. It's not beneath the enemy to betray you under the pretense of friendship. But he's my friend. He's my friend. Be careful of that. Matthew Poole said, none is tempted to evil under the appearance of evil. He moves the soul to evil under the appearance of good. I like that. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And we're watching that in our very world today, in the church and without of the church. Good is, this scripture just comes to life. They call evil good and good evil. Christians are evil today. They're worse than ISIS. They're more dangerous than ISIS. And the world is going to suck that up. But we know for sure that the prince of darkness masquerades as an angel of light. Replacing darkness for light is his specialty. And those who call good evil good and good evil are walking in their father's footsteps. The devil's sympathizers are easily seduced by this angel of light and his topic, his logic, and then they act as his agents upon the earth, spreading doctrines of demons and pushing out false gospel in all its various forms. So, in the face of such malicious and insidious enemy, we are taught to love others as ourselves. Why is such a simple command so hard to do? Because we are seeing an increase in wickedness, and as a result, the love of many is waxing cold today. All this can seem as if we are terribly in over our heads, and we absolutely would be if we didn't have Jesus, huh? Let's all stand, please. There is no hope for anyone at all without Jesus Christ today. No hope! It's a hopeless world right now that we're in. And the only people that have hope are those who have Christ in you. Romans 12:21 says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If there's something in your life and you know it's been evil, it's been a sin, you need to overcome it with good. Amen? You need the help of the Holy Ghost to guide your thinking, to direct you, to speak into your hearts. Make a determination, regardless of appearance, to be good and to talk good and to act good, because we overcome evil with good when we do that, people. It's easy to say nasty things about someone, to gossip, to tear down, and to hurt. It's easy to do those things. But I tell you what, if you're sensing those and feeling those things, or want to turn it into good and say, Holy Ghost, help me to say something good about this person, about this situation, about this place. Help me to see the good in it. Don't give the enemy one iota bit of opening in your life. And you'll watch your speech will begin to change. Your thoughts will begin to change when you cast down those false imaginations that try to come against the knowledge of God. We need to do that, amen? Is there anyone in here this morning with our heads bowed and you say to yourself, I've never really made an honest commitment to Jesus Christ? And people, I'll tell you, we're living in a time where the world has no hope. There's fear in this world like you've never seen before. It's hopeless. But I got some good news. There's good news because Jesus, he came and died on a cross for our sins, and he gave us an invitation that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and that when we repent, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Is there anybody that we would be missing that would say, I want to be 100% totally committed to Jesus today? Is there anybody in here? There may be some that have held off because you think, I'm okay. I come to church. I do my thing. I'm okay. Well, you're depending on yourself then and not Jesus. You'll miss heaven. Is there anybody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many along with me say that I really need to tuck in close to Jesus right now? In this world, this time of the world we live in right now, because the enemy, we have to remember that there's an enemy. We cannot just go around complaining and murmuring and griping, Heavenly Father. We need to come to you, Lord. We have to realize that many times the enemy is against us and he's out there promoting and trying to tear us down, kill and destroy, to rob us of our peace and our joy and our hope. And we need to always be remembrance of that, Lord. We need to depend upon your word and we need to speak, it is written. If you need a job today, you need to say, it is written, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches through Christ Jesus. It is written. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. You need to quote, you need to speak the word of God into your situation, into your life. And Father, I would ask that you help us to bring to remembrance words that you've given us and promises that you've given us, that we can live a victorious life in the days ahead. And Father, right now I pray over every family represented within Crossfire Assembly that you continue to do a supernatural work in their lives. Lord, I pray that those need joy, Lord, put joy, for that's the strength. Our strength is your joy in us, Father. And I pray you bless the homes financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, Lord. Let them see your supernatural hand at work this week. Lord, let us have a joy. Let us have a sense of your presence. Let us walk in a sense of well-being. But Lord, let us walk in confidence this week, knowing that Jesus is coming soon. And help us, Lord, to be ready to give answer if someone should ask us what that hope is. And we thank you and praise you, Father. And thank you for telling us about this enemy and exposing him, that we not fall into his traps. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Have a beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, superbly-est, fantabulous Sunday afternoon. Hallelujah. Get excited about Jesus. Have some great fellowship. Thank the Lord for the answer to your prayers in advance.